The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102 103.
It is Beat 102 103 and the first Sunday Grill of 2025. With basically, when I'm feeling a bit blah and it's early January, the thing I like to do, and I'm going to give you this piece of advice, is look at holidays. So, what better person to talk to about destinations and new travel spots than Eleanor Roach, who is a travel counsellor based right here in the Southeast? And she joins me first thing this morning to tell us some of the news from the world of travel and new destinations that you can go to from both Dublin Airport, Cork Airport, and beyond. Eleanor, you're very welcome back to the Sunday Grill.
Thank you so much, Orla.
It's lovely to talk to you. The last time I talked to you, you were a big proponent of the cruise. And I see in your Instagram, you've been on many cruises since.
I have, yeah. I stuck to my word. I'm actually just back. We were in the Caribbean last month. Two toddlers. So wow. It was a bit mad, but we had an absolute ball. And cruise has seen a significant growth in demand. I have a lot of first-time cruisers coming to me and they become repeats, and I think it is just the perfect holiday to try if you haven't tried it yet. And that's the feedback from myself, my colleagues, my head office. The demand is just flying up every year for
okay.
it.
Okay, and you have two toddlers, as you said, so it's not just for that certain age group that people think the cruises are for.
No, it's not. So I would send a lot of families. My own family is 3 and 1, my two toddlers are. And they've both been on more than one cruise now at this stage. And last month we actually brought them long haul for a cruise. So they work really well for our family. It's just a matter of picking the right ship for what you're looking for.
Okay. And they have kids clubs and everything, I presume.
Kids clubs from a certain age, but for example, the one we went on last month, the kids were free because of their age, and also there was some baby minding 2 hours a day if we wanted to book into that. For the actual kids clubs, they would have needed to be 3 and okay. older. Alfie wasn't at the time.
Okay. All right. Well, the 2 hours a day is a bit of a dream when you're on holiday.
Yeah. We were running to the sun.
Oh, I'd say so. Will we talk some new direct flights that we have here in Ireland to the US, and one really interesting one that is to Nashville?
Yeah, Nashville is launching in April next year, and I suppose the country music scene has absolutely exploded in the last while, so it's very apt that it's launching. I think it's 4 times a week they're going to be launching. Wow. And it doesn't just mean you have to go to there either, you know, there's going to be really good links into other places to maybe do a bit of a multi-center or a hop around. Vegas also launched direct with Aer Lingus back in October. I had some people on the inaugural flight, absolutely amazing. And JetBlue actually launched some long haul options out of Ireland last year to the States, to New York and Boston as well. And there's a couple of other airports too. But not to forget, I suppose, closer to home destinations, the likes of Marrakesh and Malta have some winter routes that wouldn't have been there before.
So okay, lovely.
A bit of a different destination to choose over, you know, the Canaries that you might yeah. usually think of.
So Marrakesh, which would be quite close to the Canaries, but like so nice warm weather there as well.
And still some winter sun there.
Yeah, available.
Quite a variety of things to do there. So you can go there for your typical, you know, fly and flop in an all-inclusive. But I also did have some clients recently who went out on an organised group tour out camping into the desert.
Oh,
so,
wow.
You know, there is quite a mix of activities and, you know, cultural things to do as well. Greece as well is still really,
so
really
massive.
Popular.
Yeah, it and really got quite popular in the last 5 to 10 years, hasn't it?
It has, and every year I'm seeing, you know, new routes. It just makes it that much more accessible.
Totally, so, because who wants to see another photo of Santorini, really?
No. And it's very busy there too. Yes. That's the other way.
Oh, I have seen the reality of Santorini on those Instagram posts, reality
yeah,
versus
absolutely. Versus and the more
Instagram.
New flights that there is, I suppose the easier it is to do a couple of places in the one go, same as going to the States. So the likes of Heraklion in Crete, came in last year, and I don't know if you've ever heard of Stella Island Hotel, but that's Instagram famous, adults
okay,
only.
All right.
And that will be the airport for there instead of having to do a big long transfer.
Okay, and that's Stella Island Hotel in Heraklion, is it?
It's not in Heraklion, but the airport will be Heraklion.
Okay, great. And that's Cyprus.
That is Crete.
Crete. Sorry.
We also have, Tui did bring back a Cyprus flight, actually. That was a good intro to that. So we have had Paphos with Ryanair the last number of years, but we lost the flight to Larnaca, which is the side where the likes of Aya Napa is. And I know that that has a reputation of being, you know, a big party side, but it's not. There's some really high-end hotels there as well. One of the nicest beaches in Europe as well. And then I suppose more regionally, some ones that I'm really excited about. Shannon have got a new Ryanair to Madeira.
Oh, lovely. I'm very excited about this as well. I actually hear it's a great place to relax, but really good hiking there too, if you're
really
someone who likes.
Really good hiking, yeah. I stopped in there, would you believe, on a cruise a couple of years ago, and I actually really liked the main town. And again, it is the type of destination where there are some lovely boutique hotels in and around the town, or you can kind of stay on the outskirts in more of a resort, but kind of the best of both worlds there.
Okay, and that's a long enough flight, even though it's a Portuguese island. I think it's
the bones of four.
Yeah,
I could be wrong there.
Always kind of getting to the long flights for me. I like a 2 or 3 hour.
A little bit shorter. Yeah. And Cork have a Corfu route, actually. Back to Greece, they have a Corfu route. I believe that's with TUI as well, unless I'm mistaken. And again, some really great, you know, family, adults only, whatever you're kind of looking for, range of hotels there, and something a bit different too.
Good stuff. And like, we do have to think, unfortunately, with climate change, we have to think of the superheat of the summer. If people are booking, are you seeing that people are booking kind of earlier and earlier in the year these days?
Yeah. I'm seeing a bit of movement away from going in what's considered peak times, I suppose, both from a cost point of view and also the heat. And people looking for alternative destinations to go to as well, just with it getting that bit hotter every year. So
yeah, unfortunately.
I'm not only trying to talk about cruises, but for example, I had a lot of people do Norway cruises last year because their summer will be quite mild, but you go in the summer, if that makes sense.
Yeah, lovely.
The other big thing, I suppose, that I'm seeing, Orla, is a move away from going to Europe for your holidays, both out of wanting to achieve the bucket list, I suppose, but also sometimes out of a cost perspective. Mm-hmm. So, you know, holidays do, you know, go up in price a lot, usually every year. And the value for money that you can get outside of Europe, because the demand in Europe is so high.
So like, where, when it comes to, you know, just that week or two that you just want to, as you say,
to get away
and get away. What would be outside Europe in that case?
The likes of Thailand, hugely popular.
Really?
And I'm not just talking couples, I'm talking families who come along for their summer, you know, their summer or whatever it might be, Easter holiday, and they end up there instead. Like, okay. I had one recently looking for Easter, looking for, you know, a decent hotel in the Canaries. It's not to say there's nothing wrong with the Canaries, and they actually ended up booking Mexico for the same price.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
I do love me a bit of Lanzarote though, Eleanor, I have to say.
Oh, it's hard to beat. I was there this time myself last year, and
just
there's
the
something
heat.
About the winter.
Brilliant.
The winter sun.
But I do love me a bit of Thailand too. A lot of work goes into Thailand, and I suppose that's what you're there for as a travel counsellor, the type of islands to choose and, you know, whether you want to do city and island and stuff like that. So a lot to think about. Will we go back to the US for a moment? Because if you're
absolutely.
Someone who likes your thrills, Universal will have a new theme park, or do they already have that new theme park, Eleanor?
No, it's not open yet. So Epic Universe is going to be the new theme park. It's open in our scheduled open May this year, actually. So there will be a lot of demand, I would imagine, there, you know, for the foreseeable. So it's going to have 5 new lands, some standouts. Harry Potter are going to have a standalone. I think Super Mario is one of them. How to Train a Dragon, and the other two are escaping me right now. But just, I suppose, showing the commitment to that area and how much it is.
Have you done that?
I did. It was about 8 or 10 years ago now. It's firmly on the list once the children are old enough
to enjoy all of that. It'll be fantastic. So that's May that Epic Universe is coming.
May this year.
So lots to look forward to there. Have you any plans for 2025? Any holidays on? I know you're only from holidays. But
I'm only back. So we went to Mexico for the bones of a week, and then a Caribbean cruise.
Wow.
My next holiday is a cruise, if you can believe that. So actually, I've been in invited on the launch of a brand new cruise ship, so through work, a brand new cruise ship out of Southampton. So that will be a launch just for, you know, media, travel agents,
lovely,
things like that.
Are you going on your own, Eleanor?
Would you believe my husband is allowed?
But you're not having to bring your children, are you not?
No, they're not coming, three nights. So,
wow.
Kindly being babysat, but we do have some family holidays planned. We are going on a family cruise on what would have been a brand new ship in 2024,
okay.
Sun Princess, and we are going, I think we're going to go to the campsites later this year,
oh, yes,
as well.
Brilliant.
So it's the right age for that.
Yeah,
too.
And have you done the campsites yet?
I haven't, no,
okay.
So I'm looking forward to getting to enjoy those.
Oh, they really are great. It is a lot of choosing because it is a minefield, I think, when it comes to the campsites in the summertime. You know, there's the big ones that people love, like the Cambrils, but there's lots of small things out there as well that do it great. So a new era in your family, the campsites.
A new era, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Busy, but
busy.
I wouldn't change it.
Exactly. Well, enjoy it. That is Eleanor Roach. She is a travel counsellor, and that's how you'll find her on Instagram. If you just search Eleanor Roach, travel counsellor, you'll find her there with lots of brilliant advice and really, really pro the cruise. So have a look at some of the ones that she's been on. Eleanor, thanks a million and Happy New Year.
Thank you so much, Orla.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102 103.
It is the first Sunday Grill of 2025 here on Beat 102 103. Now, I hope you know this by now, but we don't do diets here on the Sunday Grill. January is miserable enough without throwing the stress of diet fads at us. But dietitian Kirit McNulty is talking to me this morning about foods to add to your diet to kick off the new year right. She joins me on the Sunday Grill this morning. You're very welcome, Kira.
Hello. Thanks, Emil, for having me. I'm so excited to get into this topic today.
So as a dietitian, Kira, do you loathe to hear diet talk come December 30th, it all starts, doesn't it?
Oh, I absolutely loathe it. And I think that sometimes it comes even earlier than that. You know, people are thinking about how they're going to change everything and cut everything out, you know, after the festivities and really going into a really fun time of year where there's lots of food and things to be enjoyed with more of a, I guess, a stressed mindset of it all and just can't wait to reset in the new year. But that's absolutely not what it's about at all, I don't think. And I'd say you agree with me.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Now, I have to admit, Kira, I'm absolutely in a jock at this stage. I really went overboard with the parties. I've had a real lack of sleep. Every Christmas sandwich and Christmas pudding was consumed. I had a great time, but I really feel rubbish. But you say that focusing on foods will help me with how I feel.
Absolutely. And I think that we can all adopt a mindset of introducing health promoting foods rather than adopting a mindset of removing foods that we don't want in the diet. And obviously, there's, you know, a time and place for removing things that don't, you know, necessarily add to our health, but they might be a little bit more of our fun or celebratory foods, which is fine. But going into the new year, thinking about all of the health promoting foods that are out there, because there's hundreds of them and they're all really part of a normal diet as well. We just don't tend to see them that way.
Yeah,
but
true.
That's my job today, is to help us identify those really health promoting foods that we can eat at all of our meals and snacks.
And it's funny that you say hundreds. I think that's where people are scuppered a bit because there's so many of them. It's a bit of a minefield, isn't it?
It is. And we don't really know where to start, because one person tells you fruit is unhealthy and full of sugar, and the next person tells you should be eating five portions of fruit a day. So I'm not surprised that we don't know where to start.
Yeah. What would you say to that, Kira? Four portions of fruit a day, or it is full of sugar?
I love fruit. I think 5 to 7 portions of fruit and vegetables combined is brilliant. But there's, you know, vegetables are technically less in sugar, but that doesn't mean they're the foods that we should eat in place of fruit. I think fruit has an amazing part to play in our diet, and it's something that we should all aim to consume at least once or twice per day at least.
Okay. Now, you've listed some of the foods that you think, that you say will be like high in fiber, rich in nutrients, lots of them that we know. And, you know, if we think about it, we should be eating like the spinaches, the salmon, live yogurt, berries, oats. You say matcha as well. I'm trying to think if I ever tasted matcha. Does matcha taste fairly, you know, it's an acquired taste, is it?
Yeah, I would say some people do say it's quite an acquired taste, but not something that you know, something you could maybe build up to. And it's a nice one to add in there, because I think as well with, you know, caffeine and beverages, people are unsure of what's the healthiest coffee to order, or I don't like coffee, should I like coffee? So matcha is a nice one. It's a caffeine. It also contains a little bit of caffeine, but it's packed with antioxidants. So you can have a really nice latte style drink if you don't like coffee, or if you want to switch it up, and you're also getting some nice added health benefits. Okay. So why not?
Okay, good stuff. An interesting one you have as well is live yogurt. I know I go to an awful lot of shops and I buy Greek style yogurt because it's 120 compared to 450. I should be buying the live ones, should I? The one that says live cultures.
So you might be surprised. Greek yogurts will tend to have live cultures in them. Okay. And the live cultures won't be any more expensive than the non-live cultures. It's just some companies don't add it in, and you just have to be a little bit more specific with your label reading. So just looking at, you might see a few funny words on the back of the ingredients list that looks like bacteria, because it is bacteria. So something like lactobacilli and live cultures should be in the ingredients list. If it doesn't say live yogurt on the front, always double check the back as well.
That's a good one. And then this is an interesting one, that you say that convenience is what helps maintain a healthier lifestyle. I'm really interested by this because I live in a very busy world of commuting and different jobs on different days. So my lifestyle is all about convenience eating. But to me, that's grabbing a sandwich in a petrol station, for example.
Absolutely. And I think there's quite a number of people that will be, you know, under the same sort of pressure when it comes to our everyday life. And the biggest thing that I do in my work life, but also just helping with friends and family, is trying to identify foods on the go that will give you a nice balanced meal or snack option that's leaving you full, satisfied, tastes good, it's not breaking the bank. And it's hard to come by, especially in Ireland, I think. And a really good recommendation for someone looking to make healthy choices on the move, an acai bowl, where we're getting in those really rich antioxidants. So things that are anti-inflammatory within the body. And these aren't just buzzwords. These foods are actually doing what they say on the tin, full of antioxidants. But acai is an interesting one, because not only is it giving us healthy sugars, but it's also quite high in unsaturated fat, which is our really, really healthy fat. And when we combine sugar and fat, we're getting energy, but we're getting a slower release of energy, which means that you should not have that big peak. You should actually feel quite energized for a long period of time.
Okay.
And that's the key when it comes to meals and snacks, especially on the go.
Can you just explain to people what an acai, and I'm glad you said it like that. I always look at it going, acai bowl? How are we saying this?
Yeah, I know.
But what is it if even people were to make it themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. So an acai is actually a berry, and it's grown only in the Amazon rainforest. So it's not very widely available, but now people are kind of catching on to the health benefits. It is becoming much more widely available across the world. So it's a berry. It's usually prepared in a frozen form. So it's kind of like a smoothie base, as you will. So you can buy them in frozen supermarkets. You can get them in acai bowl cafes and restaurants, and you'll see them more increasingly popular over the next few years. But it is just a berry.
And what's with that yogurt usually? And what's in the bowl then?
Usually it's just the berry and water and natural sweeteners. But if you're making it by yourself at home, you can do it as you would with any smoothie. You can add yogurt, you can maybe add a little bit of extra fruit juice if you like it sweeter, or you can just use water. And you can also add other fruits, like frozen fruits such as banana. It's quite nice to blend it with as well, and blend it up, and you can use it as just a smoothie or something known as a smoothie bowl, where you make a thicker form of the smoothie and you add toppings, which is what they do in the cafes.
That's the thing that's really big at the moment. There's just so many buzzwords when it comes to, and I think that's why I don't do all these fad diets and things, because of all those. And the buzzwords are coming, there's more of them now, you know, and they're words we all know, like higher protein, fiber. Inflammation seems to be a thing that people are talking about so much these days as well.
Absolutely.
When it comes to diets, it can really get quite confusing and stressful, can't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And there is a lot of buzzwords. I think you've nailed a lot of them. And it's important that we all try to take it back to basics if there is any sense of overwhelm or confusion. And what basics is, we need all of the nutrients that are in food. Okay. So we don't need to follow high carb, low carb, high fat. We need it all. We need protein, fats, and carbs. Mm-hmm. And all of our food gives us all of that. And what we want is them in a balanced proportion. So we want to have half of our meal coming from a variety of vegetables. And we want the other half to come from a lean protein source. Mm-hmm. A really easy example is a chicken breast. Mm-hmm. And we want the other quarter to come from a whole grain carbohydrate. For example, two slices of whole grain bread. Okay. So if you had a chicken sandwich with loads of salad and two slices of whole grain bread, then that's a really balanced meal. And that's all we need. We need all the nutrients, but we need them in a nice balanced manner.
Yes. Well, you've unstressed everything for me there, to tell you the truth, Ciara. Is there anywhere people can follow you or anything if they want to get more details and more information?
Absolutely. I typically use social media, Instagram, Ciara McNulty RD for registered dietitian. That's the best place to find me.
Okay, good stuff. Lots of great advice there on how to get ourselves back in gear for 2025. Ciara, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.
It's Beat 102-103, the first Sunday Grill of 2025. Brian's over there.
Hello.
How are we?
I'm good. I'm here to talk about healthy eating. And I'm not that guy.
You're not that guy. We don't do that. No. Well, no, we do healthy eating. We don't do diets.
I had fruit yesterday.
Well done.
And some water.
Okay. Was the fruit candied?
No, it was mango. It was like a little tray and it was like mango and melon and pineapple.
And you liked it?
Yeah. Well, they're all nice.
Good.
People have this thing. We're getting sidetracked. It's 2025 now. Yeah. I'm pretty cool now.
He likes a takeout.
Yeah. I love a takeaway, but I had some fruit. And only people are like, I don't like fruit because I don't eat it because I have takeaways. Like, fruit's nice.
I think people think your body would reject fruit because you like takeaways.
I like takeaways a lot, but fruit's kind of expensive.
It is. If you're buying it in those little tray things now, Brian.
Yeah.
If you went to a supermarket or a vegetable and fruit shop and just bought them, it wouldn't be as expensive.
I'm going to go against the healthy eating person and I'm going to say, a kebab is the same price as one of those trays of fruit.
What meat do you have in your kebab?
A donor, obviously. Well, you get a mix as well from feeling like, from feeling affluent.
I was in Germany. I'm not going to say the home of the kebab over Christmas, but they like their kebabs.
Yeah, Berlin. Everyone tells me the whole time.
Yeah, so I was in Frankfurt, just outside Frankfurt, and I had a kebab. I had a donor kebab. It was top notch. The kebab was... The pita was sesame seeded and everything. It was really good.
Well, I went to Frankfurt once and I walked past, do you know the way everything is weird when you're in the continent?
Yeah.
I walked past a boat that sold kebabs.
Oh,
did I didn't get one. I didn't get one, but I remember just walking past and being like, I've never seen a boat. Like, it was just like a chipper van, but a kebab van,
but on
a
the
kebab
river.
Boat. Mm-hmm. And I just, it always stands in my head, Frankfurt and the kebab boat.
There you go. I missed that kebab
and
boat.
The big Euro sign. It was just literally on the opposite side of the river.
Okay. Now we've loads of movies to get through.
Oh, yes.
So let's move away from the kebabs. We're going to talk Minecraft the movie, Happy Gilmore 2, Superman, Death of a Unicorn and A Complete Unknown. My New Year's resolution is that I'm going to get all the actors and actresses' names correct this year.
Okay.
So let's start with A Complete Unknown because it's out the soonest and it stars Timothy Chalamet. Do you want to hear a clip?
Of course, I would love nothing more.
You tramped all the way from Minnesota.
Why is that?
I wanted to catch a spark.
If you're traveling in the North Country Fair,
I see no one wants to hear what a kid wrote last month.
Well, I like your songs.
Where the winds hit heavy on the borderline.
Who wrote this?
He did.
Remember me.
How about that, Joan Baez, folks?
There you go. There's just a short clip from A Complete Unknown. Timothy Chalamet, starring as Bob Dylan. He has been preparing, he said, for this role and the most important role of his career, he has said, for 5 years. So does he do the business?
Well, I don't know. I think you're more excited for this than I am. Because if there's one thing about Orla, she's a massive Bob Dylan fan.
Oh, no, no, not at all. Not at all.
So no, it's a weird thing because Bob Dylan for me is the answer blowing in the wind.
Yeah.
And that's how many wrote? And that's all I know.
That's all you know. Okay.
I know he won an award for how deep and meaningful his lyrics are.
Uh-huh.
But that, like, you know me, lyrics mean
nothing
iconic.
To me. He is an iconic artist.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair play to
him. There's a really brilliant documentary about his tour made in the 60s. So maybe that'll give you something to give you a bit of backstory. But yeah, this is out in about 2 weeks' time. Really good talk about this.
He was a member of the Traveling Wilburys as well, which is, I'm a big fan of them.
Now they are. Well done.
There you go.
And as we said, Timothy is meant to be phenomenal in this. There's Oscar talk already about this.
I'll be real, Orla.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a bad Timothy Chalamet performance?
No, I have not.
And I have to say, and recently in the internet, everyone realised he's actually quite a based person.
What's that mean?
Cool dude.
Okay, based.
Yeah. Like he's a big fan of, like, he played soccer when he's younger. There's a picture of him going around of him playing against Joe Gomez, who plays for Liverpool now.
Okay. But he has lots of European roots, obviously.
Yeah, and like he lived in France, and he was I think he used to follow around the Montpellier team bus because he was such a big fan of the soccer team, and he just seems like a chill dude.
That is a complete unknown, out very soon, January 17th. Let's talk death of a unicorn spring. What are you laughing at?
It's just the transition. Let's talk death. All right. Fair enough.
Death of a Unicorn, spring 2025, they're saying about this. So we don't really have a date yet, but what a cast. It's made by A24. And as you know, they're the people behind Get Out and lots of other things. But when I was watching the clips of this, this is the closest I felt. I suppose because something happens to said unicorn at the start and there is that similar kind of scene in Get Out.
Okay.
But the whole idea of these groups of people together and you don't really know what's going on.
Another, you know, Get Out, the movie where he knocks down a deer. Famously, that's what that movie is entirely about.
I don't want to give spoilers just in case people haven't watched Get Out. Anyway, amazing cast. Paul Rudd, Jenna Ortega.
Jenna is what messed you up.
Will Poulter and Tia Leone and Richard E. Grant in there as well. Do you want to listen to a quick
Jessica
click?
Hines as well, which is an interesting.
That now?
So she was in like Shaun of the Dead and she was in Spaced. She was like the girl in Spaced. She was one of the writers of Spaced.
Ah.
Yeah, so that's an interesting
I
side character.
I recognise her from the clips now that you say that.
Well, there you go.
Okay, here we go. Death of a Unicorn.
Ridley? Are you okay?
It kind of felt like it was showing me something. I get this feeling I don't think we're supposed to be here.
The Leopolds donated this entire nature preserve. And they care about a lot of things, not just pharmaceuticals.
Fine. I will sit there and smile.
And there you go. That's the happening of the thing with the accident. And can we say what it is?
Oh, I mean, the title's called Death of a Unicorn.
Well, yeah. A unicorn dies. Come on now. We're running out of time.
Yeah.
Tell us why you are looking forward to this.
Jenna Ortega.
Yeah, next. I was about to say, next. Because he loves Jenna Ortega.
Now, Will Poulter, hilarious. Again, what's he bad in? Can't think of anything.
Mm-hmm. Paul Rudd.
Iconic. I love the way you said that at the exact same time.
Yeah.
It's a great cast, great movie. Jenna Ortega, I'm in. I was in a Jenna Ortega, to be fair.
Of course. Okay, that's Death of a Unicorn, spring 2025. I'm sorry to have to say that to you, but that's what they're saying. Okay, let's move on to Happy Gilmore 2. Now, we speak a lot here on the Sunday Grill about Adam Sandler. That's another one I get wrong. I call him Sadler a lot, but it's Adam Sandler and his Netflix deal.
Yeah.
Mega books for making a lot of particularly good
movies.
He's
made me laugh. He's made me cry with his specials. Yeah. So you watch his comedy specials?
No, but I've watched the lizard one, Leo the Lizard.
That was a great movie.
I watched You're So Not Coming to My Bat Mitzvah.
Yeah,
loved
great movie
it.
As well.
And he's also made Happy Gilmore 2 for Netflix.
Yeah, I can't wait to see this. But even the specials and stuff he did, like, they're fantastic. They were so well produced and everything. Like, I genuinely loved it. But this looks pure nostalgia, over-the-top cameos, silliness. It's going to be dumb. It's going to be stupid. It's going to be hilarious. And I can't wait for it. I'm going to watch every second of it.
Okay.
Everyone's saying that they're sick and it's not in cinemas, but I feel like it might get that cinema push.
I know, but I do think it's a good thing that we don't just have to go to cinemas for things. Netflix will be a good place to sit on your sofa and enjoy this.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
I just love watching a good comedy with a crowd.
Yeah.
Like it's the experience is so much better that like
true.
Something silly happens that is never funny. Yeah, at any other stage of any time of watching something, because the crowd is kind of giddy, they laugh at it. Do you know what I mean? It's just those kind of things that the movie's way better than Butch Look.
And Adam has said as well that his character is going to be involved in a senior golf tour in this 2025 version of Happy Gilmore, which is being called Happy Gilmore 2.
Fantastically named.
Superman, back.
Superman.
It's back. Going to save the cinema. It's what we're kind of hearing. People will be going in their droves to Superman.
Oh, I don't know. I was literally talking to you about how those films sold out in cinemas during the week, so I don't know how much the cinema needs to be saved.
Well, but, true.
Superman looks fantastic. It's James Gunn.
I tried to find a clip, but it was one of those things where it's just music because they're trying to, you know.
Well,
it,
to be fair,
you.
That was only like a teaser trailer as well, but it looks fantastic. James Gunn, I will follow that man into any battle he ever sends me.
Okay.
Suicide Squad, Guardians of the Galaxy's fantastic movies. Everything he's done, really. Scooby-Doo, he wrote the Scooby-Doo movies, do you know?
Okay, great stuff.
So, yeah, like anything after that, then you have to just follow that man.
Good stuff. That is out. Well, it says there's going to be a New Dawn on July 11th, so I presume that's when the release is.
No, it's just like they're looking forward to
to July 11th. And finally, quickly, let's talk about Minecraft the movie. I do have a clip for this one. Do you want to hear it?
I would love to hear it.
Minecraft is just a bugbear of me in my house.
Really?
I have to say, yeah.
Minecraft was what
Past
I was doing.
By?
No, what? No.
Oh.
I've played Minecraft since like 2010.
Okay.
Yeah, I've gone to Minecon. I've worked at Minecon.
Okay.
I've attended another Minecon. I met Notch, who created Minecraft. This is all a flex. There's some people that are out there that are impressed right now, Orla.
All right.
You're not. No. But I've met like all the big YouTubers and stuff. I met at all the Minecons and stuff before.
Wow.
I've had quite a big life in terms of Minecraft.
Okay, let's
probably the game I've played the most ever.
We'll listen to a clip. What the hell? That's all I can give you. But I can tell you that a very recognisable man was in that. And his name is...
I want to just leave you figure it out.
He's in Game of Thrones.
He is. He's an Aquaman.
He's very, very tall.
Very tall.
And muscly.
Yeah.
Jason Momoa!
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Yay, he's not even the main character in this.
Okay, just...
No, this is Jack Black, Central.
Oh, brilliant.
Emma Myers from Wednesday... Jason Momoa, Jennifer Coolidge is in this as well. Kate McKinnon, Jermaine Clement, Daniel Brooks. These are all names that are kind of new to me, so I might have spoiled something on myself a small bit there. But I've been waiting for this for years. So when I was working at the aforementioned Minecon in like 2016 in London, I accidentally met the director of, at the time, the Minecraft movie, because this has been in development for years.
Wow.
And they were like, this is the guy that's going to direct the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I said hello to him. I was like, I recognize him from somewhere, but I can't place him.
That
was Jason
Momoa.
It was not. It was Rob McElhenney that's in Always Sunny.
Oh, brilliant.
So there's a photo of me somewhere standing beside Rob McElhenney and me being like, I know that guy from somewhere.
Rob McElhenney, who also owns half of a football club.
That's
with
the same Rob McElhenney. Yeah, so met him. So...
Great stuff. Lots
then he dropped off the project. So maybe after he met me.
That was it. He decided to go into football. When is that due to be out?
Sometime this year. I don't know, Orla. Are you asking me these questions? April 4th.
Okay, thank you very much. That is Minecraft the movie. We also have Happy Gilmore 2, which is coming to Netflix. Superman, July 11th. Death of a Unicorn, soon. They haven't given us a definite date. And A Complete Unknown is in about 2 weeks' time, I think January 17th. Thank you
much. Which one do you think you'll go see?
I'll definitely go see Death of a Unicorn.
Okay.
I'll definitely go see A Complete Unknown, the two of them. But I'll do that in 2026.
Okay, fair
enough.
Not
this year.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Killian's here because he's about to do TV tips. Hello.
I know, I'm interested in all these movies.
Thank you. I'm gonna
cool ones.
Yeah, cool ones. Going to play some music and then I'll talk to you in a bit.
That's okay.
Okay.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.
We talked to my next guest almost a year ago about his biodrama true story called Trawled. Trawled is about what happened to Owen on a prawn ship. Is that right? Prawn trawler between Australia and Papua New Guinea. So we'll talk more about that in a minute. But so much has happened to Owen Ryan and Trawled in the 12 months since we talked to him. And as the show returns to Wexford Arts Centre for one night only on January 17th, we thought this was the perfect time to discuss it all. So Owen joins me on the phone this morning. Owen Ryan, that is. You're very, very welcome, Owen. And Congratulations in advance. You're going to tell us about all the things that have happened to you. But did I give a good description of what Trawled is?
You did indeed, yeah. Yeah. And you know something? It's kind of a funny one, Orla. The less people know, the more they enjoy it. It's just one of those kind of stories.
But let's give them the kind of premise of it, not even without giving the story away. It's a one-man show, is it?
It's a one-man show, yes. Yeah. So back in 1999, I blagged my way onto an Australian prawn trawler.
Okay.
And when unforeseen circumstances happen, which is zero spoilers, I'm sorry for your listeners, but I'd be giving too much good stuff away if I told you. Unforeseen circumstances happen on the boat, and then the fragile relationships start to break down, and then it just turns into a crazy story from that point onwards.
Okay, that's what we like, a crazy story. So you're back in Wexford Arts Centre very soon on January 17th for one night only, as we said. But in the meantime, since we last talked to you 12 months ago, you've had 14 shows at the Edinburgh Fringe. You were shortlisted for the BBC Popcorn Award. And the massive one that it's been optioned, Trawled has been optioned for a movie. So take us back. How does, for example, the Edinburgh Fringe happen? Do you need to be invited to that?
No, you can apply to be involved in the Edinburgh Fringe.
Okay.
But at the same token, you've got to be aware that you could lose a heck of a lot of money there because there's 3,500 shows happening over 3 weeks, which is nuts. I mean, it is absolutely crazy, the amount of shows and people that are out there advertising. And it's everything from comedy to, you know, to all sorts of different theatre and street performers, etc. So it's the biggest arts festival in the world.
Uh-huh. And this time last year when we talked to you was when Baby Reindeer was out. And one of the scenes that we see him in is him at the Edinburgh Fringe and how few people come to see his act when it's in a pub. So you always have that worry, don't you?
You do. You have to graft so hard. I mean, I probably would spend about 3 hours every single day in the streets handing out leaflets, but not just handing them out randomly. I'd be actually stopping and talking to people and, you know, trying to get them to come to the show. And that's part of it, you know.
Yeah, of course.
It's kind of you earn your audience, so to speak, you know.
And where was the venue in Edinburgh that you went to?
It was down near the train station. Okay. And ironically enough, they were doing some new building works right beside us. So sometimes I was competing with a cement mixer and be... try and be heard, or a jackhammer. So, but look, we got by.
And it did well for you, did it?
It did really well. Yeah, it was shortlisted for the Popcorn Award, which is unbelievable. And on the back of it, I've been invited to go to Australia to the Adelaide Fringe for 20 shows, and I bought the ticket, and I'm going on the 24th of February. So that's very exciting as
well. Excellent. Back to where it almost all began.
Yeah, wrong side of the country, of course, but still, you know, to be invited over is a huge thing. The director of the Adelaide Fringe saw the play and she just said, we have to have this. So, I mean, you know, you couldn't get a better endorsement than that.
So it's not really about making money at Edinburgh Fringe, it's about making contacts and people seeing the show, really.
It is. I mean, look, if I'm honest, I lost a lot of money there, but I was prepared to do that because, I mean, I walked away with the shortlisted award. I walked away with 2 5-star reviews and 5 4-star reviews. I mean, you couldn't get that in Ireland. So it was a speculate to accumulate kind of a thing, and to put it on the map and to get it noticed. And on the back of it now, like, I mean, we're going to be making a movie, which is very exciting.
Tell us about that, because Trawled isn't just a play, it's a book as well, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, it started out as a book. And ironically enough, when I came back from Edinburgh, the book was shortlisted for the CAP Award in nonfiction, which again was just another like icing on the cake. Couldn't believe it moment. But just goes to show when you put something out there, you know, and you really believe in it. And it's quality, like, you know, it will be picked up. But the movie now is just very exciting. I mean, it always was a movie. It was a movie before it was a play, if I'm totally honest. Mm-hmm. It just is a natural story arc in it. And, you know, there's a very important message in the movie, the book and the play. And that's to ask for help. And, you know, whatever format that comes in, like, we can't hear it enough. So, yeah, it's an unbelievable place to be in.
It's amazing.
It didn't happen by chance. But look, I'll take all the luck that I've gotten along the way.
Well, lots of hard work as well along the way too. And as you said, it is a story that is made for a movie. I can see the trawler watching the screen of what happened during that time between Oz and Papua New Guinea. Is it You're just about to sign. Is that what you're saying?
Just about to sign. Yeah. And but I've written the screenplay. So the screenplay is I would say it's 80% there. It probably needs a professional touch on it. But dare I say it, like, I've actually put together a very good screenplay, you know.
Wow.
So I'm quite happy to stand over saying that on radio to all your listeners. Yeah. So it's exciting times. Like, 2025 will be a defining year for Trawled. I mean, I'm still touring around Ireland, going to the theatres like the Wexford Arts Centre on the 17th mm-hmm. of Jan and stuff. So, I mean, it's if people want to come and see it, like, you know, you'll be the original people that, you know, founded Trawled, so to speak, before,
exactly.
I suppose, it before it, like, you know, gets onto the big screen, and then we'll see where we go from there.
Totally.
But it's all good. It's all good. It's all positive.
Congratulations. As you said, it's not all chance. It's about all the work that you've put in and those chances that you've taken as well, especially going to the Edinburgh Fringe. You are very, very lukewarm at the moment, but if you want to see Owen and Trawled before it becomes incredibly hot and on the big screens, then January 17th at the Wexford Arts Centre. And of course, the Wexford Arts Centre has its booking functions there. Owen, it's so lovely to talk to you at the start of 2025 and all those things that have happened for you in 2024. Well done and best of luck with everything. Thanks for talking to me this morning.
Thank you.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.